The Heart of War, Misadventures in the Pentagon. Written by Kathleen J. McInnes and read by Brittany Presley.
Chapter 1.
Are you sure this is safe?
I screamed over the noise of the whirling blades to the sergeant to my left. His machine gun pointed outward into the dusty blue beyond, looking for anyone, or anything, that might use our helicopter for target practice. It was a stark reminder of the precariousness of our situation. Then again, war zones aren't exactly garden spots. The sergeant shrugged and tapped his helmet. Can't hear you. Great. I briefly flirted with the idea of trying to communicate my question through crude gestures and pantomime. But then I realized that doing so would involve prying my white-knuckled hand off the side of the Chinook, an even dumber move than sitting there in the first place. This is not what I signed up for when I joined the Pentagon. Hell, if you'd told me a couple years ago that I would be hanging onto the side of a helicopter for dear life while flying over Afghanistan of all places, I would have called you certifiably insane. Professors of international relations with pacifist streaks usually tend to avoid battlefields, not to mention organizations that kill people and break things. Careful to keep my grip on the helicopter, I peered down between my boots at the brown, baked mountains of the Hindu Kush, which were peppered with dried scrub brush and the occasional cluster of homes. The villages grew more frequent, eventually merging together as we flew and forming the outskirts of the city of Kabul. And although the mountains themselves looked like they were made of dust as fine as powdered sugar, somehow the houses clung halfway up the slopes and squeezed themselves into narrow valleys before spreading open into the city itself. I couldn't help but reflect on the fact that hundreds of feet of air were all that was separating me from the streets below, or that hunks of metal weighing 40 tons shouldn't be airborne. My helmet, which would have suited a Neanderthal, slid over my eyes. I didn't want to release my death grip on the helicopter, but there was a decent shot it would fall off my head if I didn't adjust it. A flash of horror crossed my mind as I thought of the Afghans below. Shopping, attending mosque, suddenly having their daily lives interrupted by a helmet plummeting from the sky. Or for that matter, the crash landing of a certain young American woman who was stupid enough to sit off the back of a Chinook. I jerked my head up and backwards to slide the helmet back into place and felt it whack the back of my neck. Able to see again, I looked off into the distance and saw a black speck floating behind us. I could just make out another helicopter's long barrel shape and dual rotors. Looking from the city below to the hills in the distance, now partially shrouded in late afternoon haze, I remembered my brother John's interpreter talking about his homeland in his lightly broken English. We could make it beautiful again, he said, if only there were peace. If only. How many more people would give their lives for a dream of peace that warlords and terrorists were constantly shattering? Was it really worth it? Or would the consequences, leaving the Afghans to themselves, be even more terrible? All I knew was that after my brother John died, I swore I'd never risk life and limb for near hopeless causes in countries on the other side of the world. But now I was doing exactly that, in exactly the place John lost his life. A hand waved to my left. The sergeant was shouting something, but between the wind and the earplugs I was wearing, I couldn't make out a word. So he opted for a different form of communication, pointing emphatically to something, or someone behind me. I noticed my hands were cramped as I turned around. Another soldier was beckoning me to move off the edge of the ramp and back into the bright orange jump seats in the body of the aircraft. I was simultaneously awash with relief and panic. Relief at the prospect of getting off the ledge and into relative safety. Panic because I had no idea how to do so without falling out of the damned thing. My body armor was enormous, presumably designed to match the Neanderthal-sized helmet, which meant that my center of gravity was hopelessly thrown off. This wasn't going to be pretty.